do, we're going to look at the book of Revelation, but if you want to follow up on previous talks, in January and February, I did parts 1, 2, and 3, and so that's all. So today we're going to carry on, and I will do a little bit of a recap. Now, at the beginning of this year, when we were praying about what this year had in store for us, these are some of the verses from the Bible that God gave to us. So this is a reminder. And some of us have got this scripture on the wall of our home, which is a great one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So that's a great verse to hold on to. That's a great one for you, Johnny, as you travel. And then together with that was Ephesians chapter 1. This is a prayer that Paul prays. He wrote it down for his friends in the city of Ephesus. And this is a prayer that we can make our own. We can pray. We can put our own name in here and ask God to give us what Paul asks for in this prayer. So he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation means you see something you haven't seen before in the knowledge of him. So, you know, there's a lot more each of us can learn about God and about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is in our lives to help us understand more about Jesus and get to know him. He goes on to talk about the details. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, I see that now, don't we? Someone explains something to us, oh, I see that now. And we're not talking about our physical eyes, we're talking about, we understand it makes sense to us. And that's what this means, that our understanding will realise who Jesus is and what he's done for us, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, that word hope in the Bible, the word hope means something certain and sure and definite that is definitely going to happen in the future. It's not just a wish. You know, like, oh, I hope, some of my friends at work say, oh, I hope we win the lottery this week. Well, I keep saying to them, you know, you're more likely to get struck by lightning going to get your ticket than win that. So that's not the kind of hope that the Bible gives us. I said, give the money to me and I'll give it you back at the end of the year, interest free, and you'll make more money than all the money you waste on the lottery. Anyway. But we have a different kind of hope. We have the hope that is certain and sure. So what we're going to look at today in the Bible is the hope of that God has called us to. God's called our names. You know, so he says, Leroy, Cliff, you know, Abby. And Jesus is calling us. Just like his first disciples, he called James and John and Peter. They were fishermen. He called them and said, hey, Peter, come and follow me. And Jesus has called each one of us. What's he called us to? Well, it's in the future. Something definite and sure and certain is ahead for each one of us as Christians. And here, Paul is praying that your eyes will be open to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We've got a big inheritance. You know, an inheritance, when someone dies, they leave things in their will. If it's someone poor, they don't leave anything. If it's someone wealthy, they leave a lot. Well, God owns the universe, and he wants us to inherit his wealth through believing in Jesus. And we're going to look at what that means in the future. And what is the exceeding greatness? You know, Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good cakes. Well, this is exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe. It means it's amazing. It's way more than we can understand or appreciate. So, basically, this is big. Okay, it's bigger than we've yet realized what God has in store for us. Amen. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. So tell the person next to you, your future is bright. And our future is tied up in the person of Jesus Christ. We were singing about him earlier on. He's a wonderful shepherd, a king, a saviour. So let's get into the book of Revelation. We were looking at it earlier this year. We're going to carry on. So this is the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. So it's right at the end of the Bible. You know, I don't know, does anyone here like reading thrillers or mystery novels or things like that, and you don't know how it's going to work out, who did it, who done it? And I always, I like reading books if I know there's going to be a happy ending. I know if it's all going to get sorted in the end. And it's the same with the Bible, which is true. It's not fiction, it's fact. And so we can see at the end of the Bible exactly what's going to happen. A man who I'm named after, called John, received this message from God, from Jesus, when he was a very old man. He wrote it down, and we get to see what God wants us to know. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne," that's God's throne, "saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Thank God for that. "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega.'" They're two Greek letters, A and Z in English alphabet. Alpha and Omega in Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Now that's good news. There's so much in these verses, I'm going to just unpack them a little bit for us. And when we were looking at this in January and February, some of the things we looked at in Revelation, we saw that this holy city is in shape, it's a cube. It's a huge cube. In fact, if you lay it on the earth, it would stretch from London to Athens. You can work out the measurements that are given elsewhere in the book of Revelation. But what's interesting about the shape of this city, it's the only other place in the Bible that the shape of a cube is found, is in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt and they were wandering in the desert. God told them to build a tent called a tabernacle, a big tent, and he asked them to build a cubic tent called the Holy of Holies. And then hundreds of years later, when King David's son Solomon built a physical temple out of bricks and gold, again, the place where God's presence was a cube. In the future, what we learn is the world, the future world that God's going to make, the same kind of purity and holiness that you could read about in history, in the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, that same purity and holiness of God is going to fill everything on the whole planet. And nothing unclean will ever threaten it. You know, every human, we have a desire for perfection. You know, when we're decorating our houses, you know, we want everything to be just right. I know my wife does. And, you know, that's a God-given desire. We all desire perfection. None of us like going to places, you want to go somewhere beautiful and you find someone's vandalised it. You know, you feel sad. Why do we have a desire for perfection? Because God created us perfect. The first man and woman were created perfect. They disobeyed God and got this world into the mess, all the suffering and pain that we see today. It's because of their bad choice. But God has rescued us and he's going to make everything perfect again. Let's read in these are verses in the New Testament now. These are written to us. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." So this is saying, you know, we are spiritual beings. We're made up of three parts. I am a spirit. I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, my feelings. And I live in a body. So this body is my earth suit. What happens when someone dies is they leave their body behind like an old set of clothes, and their spirit, the part of us that lives forever, leaves and goes, those of us who trust in Christ go to be with him. And this is talking about, let's focus on the reality of the fact that our life comes from heaven through the supernatural dimension of God. And therefore, let's think about heaven as much as possible. And our job is to bring heaven down to earth wherever we go. If you meet someone at work this week or at school this week that is depressed, that is sick, that is in trouble, you can bring heaven into their lives by praying for them, telling them about Jesus, encouraging them that God wants to help them. That's part of our job. And it says in the future, when Christ is revealed to the whole world, when Jesus comes back again, we're going to realize who we really are. Because these old, like, I've got grey hair, I've got wrinkles, my body's not as fit as it used to be. I'm going to get a brand new body, and we will share in God's glory.
It's okay, it's all right. I'll sort it out.
Okay. So, we're going to share God's glory. And this verse is good as well. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. Who's eagerly waiting for him to come back? Yes. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. We've got several of us here today who are, you obviously work out, you like going to the gym, you're pretty strong, okay? But compared to the bodies that Jesus is going to give us, it's no comparison. You know, some of us can maybe lift hundreds of kilograms and stuff like that. But, you know, Jesus is going to make our bodies perfect like his. And that's what we're looking forward to. So let's go back to Revelation and let's just dig into those verses we read earlier. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had disappeared and the sea was also gone. Basically, God is going to refurbish, renovate, renew, and restore the whole universe, including this planet. That's what God says is going to happen in the future. So people who are worried about the environment, climate change, what's going to happen to the earth, this is good news. God's going to put it all right. And when you read this, he's going to do it elsewhere in the New Testament. It compares what God's going to do to what happened after Noah's flood. Now, in the book of Genesis, God flooded the whole planet. And he used that to destroy the wicked civilization that was in place at the time and make a fresh start with Noah and his family. And genetically, the whole human race, you can trace it back to kind of the three sons of Noah, the differences in human genetics. But in the future, we're going to have new everlasting physical bodies like Jesus when he was raised from the dead, and we're going to live on a renewed physical earth. This is important to grasp, because in popular culture, if you see a cartoon of heaven, what does it normally look like?
Clouds.
People floating in clouds. And what are they playing?
Harps.
And they're sitting up there, just floating on clouds. And who welcomes people at the gate?
St. Peter.
Well, none of this is in the Bible, okay? A lot of it is from Greek mythology. There's a guy called Plato who thought heaven would be completely separate from the physical realm. The Bible says heaven is real, heaven is physical. And, okay, my dad died a few weeks ago. We're going to cremate his body. His body's going to be cremated. But when Jesus comes back, my dad's body, wherever the ashes end up, is going to be reconstituted supernaturally. He's going to have a young, healthy, immortal body like Jesus' body, and he's going to be reunited with it. Now, in the meantime, the Bible talks about Christians being asleep. So the spirits are up there with Jesus, but when he comes back to earth, everyone who believes in him is going to get their bodies remade, restored, perfect, and never to die. And we're going to live. Where are those bodies going to live? On this planet that's new, it's made new. Now, this is interesting. 71% of the earth is under the water, under the sea. And why is that? Because of Noah's flood. And if you look at the 29% that isn't under the sea, a third of that is desert and ice, where hardly anyone lives. So that means right now, only 20% of the surface of this big ball we live on, we can actually use and inhabit. So what's interesting in the new earth is we're going to have like 5 times as much space as we've got now. So, you know, if you think how much land costs in this country, it's extortionate. But when you've got 5 times as much available, you know, we're all going to get a share of that new earth. It's going to be wonderful. We've never seen a liberated earth with all its glories and all the space available for human life, but God is going to set this earth free. Let's look at the next few verses. John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. So what we can see here is that God's plan is to bring heaven and earth together in perfect unity. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now God is literally going to do that. He is going to bring heaven down to earth. Okay? All humans who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Lord and Saviour, will be part of this new city. So this, basically, all these people are described as being a city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. My daughter got married last October, and I had to walk her down the aisle, a beautiful bride, getting ready for her husband. And that's a picture of what's going to happen at the end of time. All of us who love Jesus Christ, who trust in Jesus Christ, who want to know him, serve him, spend time with him, be with him, worship him, we're going to have a wedding. We're going to be united with him on a new earth. And it says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit will live with us forever. We will, and not each of us individually, we'll all be together. We will be together forever with all our ancestors, our loved ones, believers through all history, all the characters in the Bible, everyone who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. The only people who will be not there are those who reject Jesus Christ, who want to be the God of their own lives, who say to God, I don't need you, I don't want Jesus Christ, I think this universe is a big accident. I think I'm just an accident. When I die, nothing's going to, you know, I'm just going to go into oblivion. People who think that way, they're not going to be there. Okay? But everyone whose heart is open to God, who wants to know God, who wants to know their creator, who put us all here and put this universe together and is going to make it perfect in the end, they are all going to be together. Now look at the last few verses. God will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. Tell the person next to you, I'm looking forward to that. You know, one of the questions people who don't yet know the Lord put to Christians is, how can there be a God of love if there's so much suffering in the world? Part of the answer to that is, one, God didn't create all the suffering and mess in the world. He gave humans a free choice to choose what we have now, or choose perfection by trusting in God. And sadly, the first man and woman from whom we're all descended made the wrong choice. But the good news is God is big enough to handle it, and he's going to eradicate it all. So people who hate the suffering and the misery of this world and haven't yet trusted in Christ, you can say, you know, if you put your trust in Christ, you are going to witness yourself a world where there is no death, suffering, pain, sorrow. All these things are gone forever. Praise God. So God's going to effectively make a new creation, and it's going to be better than the first creation, because this new one is not going to be capable of being messed up because of the power of Jesus' sacrifice. The one sitting on the throne said, looking, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. That's how you live forever. You drink from that water of life. And there's the tree of life that you read about in the Garden of Eden in the beginning of Genesis. That grows next to that river. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So